now time for the Port Podcast.
In 3, 2, 1, we are rolling. We are back. Welcome to episode 11 of the Port Podcast. We are here, we are rolling, and we are so excited. Craig's back. We have a new guest who we've been so excited. You've heard us mention her before. Jane, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Why don't you just tell everybody who you are and what you do here at the Port?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Jane Burchell. I've been at the Port now for 3 years. I started during the pandemic when it was, you know, masks and working from home. So I'm really happy to be in the office now and have met everybody. My role here at Port St. John is the decarbonization and environment manager. For those who don't know, I'm just going to explain what decarbonization is because I get this question a lot. I know when I first got this role, my parents were like, what does that mean? And like now they hear that word on the news all the time. So it's been a funny transition. But decarbonization pretty much just means removing carbon or carbon emissions from processes or operations. So that's something that's happening globally right now where, you know, companies are looking at their pollution emissions and trying to figure out how they can reduce them. That's pretty much my role here.
Pretty awesome said. Work. Yeah, that's great. And tell us a little bit about what you've kind of been up to over the past little bit since joining Port St. John, because the list is pretty big, guys. And I've been really excited as someone who's been learning about what the port's been doing from a growth perspective, from a sustainability perspective. As someone who lives in and has worked in St. John my whole life, it's makes me really proud to know that people are actually rolling their sleeves up and doing this work, and it's so important. So tell people what you've been doing.
Yeah, so the big project this year has been working on a decarbonization master plan, and that came out of our new strategic priorities. And maybe, Craig, you can just talk a little bit about, you know, what that strategic priority is that I'm focused on.
Absolutely. So in an earlier episode, I can't believe it's episode 11, by
I know,
the way.
That
feels weird when you say that out loud,
I
Kate.
Know.
But in an early episode, we had Tanya Chapman, who works with us quite a bit at the port, and we launched a new vision, values, purpose last fall. We went in detail about kind of strategic planning and that whole process. But what came out of that was 8 core pillars, one being decarbonization. And Jane was put as the project lead. And again, back to the philosophy that we talked about with Tanya, we have internal resources that are leading these 8 pillars. And then we go outside and hire experts and analyze best practices across the country and internationally for every one of these. So we put Jane in charge of that earlier this year, and she's just done a tremendous job recapping the journey that we've been on to get us to that point. What are the things we can do in the interim while we set future targets and then paint a really bright future for us, paint a picture for the future as to what we can become as a green port that contemplates decarbonization, that's very aggressive in its targets, that's in line with what other ports are doing and what the industry that we work with, specifically shipping lines and terminal operators with respect to containers, and what the cruise industry is doing as well. So I'm going to turn it back over to Jane, because she's done a tremendous amount of work in 2023 and we're extremely excited for 2024.
Yeah.
Well, I've been blessed to work with an awesome project team here at Port St. John, with a cross-section from across the whole organization, you know, people that, you know, are the people that are out there driving our vehicles. They're the people out there, you know, installing electrical projects. We have people from business development. We have people from finance, all on my project team to get this done. And the first step, you know, of this whole master plan is looking at our current footprint and, you know, where are our carbon emissions coming from at Port St. John? Yeah. And we really took a deep dive on our scope 1 and 2 emissions, which is, you know, the emissions we are directly responsible for. So that would look like, you know, the electricity we're using right now in the Marco Polo cruise terminal, the gasoline we're using in our vehicles. And we analyze that footprint to find out, you know, where we can make some reductions. And when we do look at our footprint, you know, our biggest contributor would be the electricity that we use, natural gas, and then the fuel in our vehicles. But then there's also scope 3 emissions. So if you look behind us and see the cruise ship here, that would be an example of our scope 3 emissions. It's emissions that we don't really have direct control over, but they're still happening because of our business. So that's a whole kind of other can of worms that we're also diving into, because what would also be under scope 3 would, you know, be the activity happening all along the waterfront with our port stakeholders. So that's another one as well that we're working on analyzing.
And you know what? I'm just going to say it because I think it's important to keep it real. I think it's really great that we have people that care about that, because we could be in a place where there's no due diligence, absolutely no departments looking at those things logistically from a cultural standpoint when people are coming to our city. Economically, there's so many factors that could be missed. And I think it's, I won't say I'm emotional about it, but I'm very proud to live in a place where our core organizations and people that are really focused on the growth of our city care about all of the different aspects of the business, and enough that if somebody said, well, it's great that we have these cruise ships here, but what are they emitting into the ocean? What do they give to uptown businesses? And I like that we've been able to articulate that value and then what we're doing about it. So thank you for doing that.
Well, that's a great point, Kate. And I want to jump in on that as a port industry, including the Port of St. John. It wasn't that many years ago where we didn't contemplate any of this.
Yeah.
Environmental assessments were things that you just did checking a box to get a project underway and completed.
Oh, absolutely.
And even, you know, looking at environmental programs that ports or industry undertook, it was very much just a paper-based transactional. These are the things we have to do to satisfy a specific regulation, mm-hmm. or something that is required, you know, to hit a certification. So we've really, and we're on a journey too. So we're guilty as charged. Years ago, I've been at the port for 12 years. That's what we did. And what we've tried to do by creating positions and hiring people like Jane that spend every waking moment of their working day thinking
and
about
sleeping moments.
And sleeping moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking about the environment and being passionate so that everyone in the organization, from our board to our senior leadership team to any new person that's joining us, you know, a month ago, that we all understand why we need to care about this and what are the things we need to continuously strive. And this is not going to be a one-day exercise. This is a long, long-term, multi-decade journey, and that's why Jane in her new role with control of that master, you know, that pillar of the master plan is so key.
Yeah, and we've also tried to be so inclusive with what we've been working on. So I mentioned, you know, our project team, you know, with people from all across the organization. We've also been working with our community liaison committee and, you know, run by some options for targets by them to get their input. And then, of course, all of our stakeholders, since they're, you know, a part of the port community, we've been meeting with them continuously about decarbonization efforts and kind of what they have going on and how we can help them as a port authority and how we can maybe incentivize or influence them to take on projects that'll help reduce their footprint, because it reduces the overall port footprint.
I just think that's very cool. And I think being an industry thought leader as well is something why I really was excited to be on the show, both as co-host and as a guest, because it allows me the ability to learn full circle rather than just what I perceive or what I'm learning, whether it be white papers that are being put out. It gives me that more meat to the bone, the rest of the story. And I think that's so important. And again, thank you for caring, right? Because I think it's very easy to probably come in and do a role that probably extrapolates a lot of that care out, and you just do what's probably perceived. But I see how much research you're doing, how often you're connecting with people in your industry, how much the port team is really working together to know all the gaps, to really know that the suggestions, what the long-term growth plans are. And I think that is so cool to see from a big level. I don't see that at a lot of big organizations. So it's really nice to see the port being that industry thought leader in it, because I am seeing other organizations wanting to take that approach or to at least understand where that expertise and that research is coming from. So, you know, not biased. And I say that probably every episode and every guest that we have, but I really do feel that way. And I hope, you know, you as guests, the audience, if you have questions about these kinds of things, or for Jane or for Craig, or about the master plan or what scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions are, I mean, let us know in the comments or through a message, or if it's something that you want to learn more about, please connect with Jane and the team at Port St. John. We're always wanting to know more about how the public understands these things and how more we can kind of articulate that communication as well.
Yeah, and I want to add too, you know, we're not naive to the fact that, you know, there are problematic things that ports do. Yeah. There are problematic operations. There are things that need to change globally, not just at the Port of St. John. And we're not naive to that. But we've chosen, and Jane's chosen, to fight change from the inside and to try to really keep that yardstick moving and to keep progressing along that journey. And so when people ask us questions or come forward, we're happy to answer them. But we know there's lots to be done.
Absolutely.
And we're committed to doing it. And part of that is going to be setting some pretty aggressive targets in the coming weeks and months. And maybe, Jane, you want to talk a little bit about what you've been working on this year that's gotten us to this point.
Yeah, so the targets, they'll be coming out soon. And I just also wanted to mention, once, you know, we release our sustainability report, we will be, you know, we want to be as transparent as possible. So we'll be releasing, you know, our greenhouse gas footprint and, you know, all the data that comes along with that, with our sustainability report. But we've been able to get a couple of fun projects off the year, or off, get started this year. A couple of them would be installing electric vehicle chargers on port property, and these are for our port staff and our port fleet, because we have our first 100% electric vehicle now in our port fleet, which is the Ford E-Transit van, and our electricians get to drive it, which is kind of ironic, but you might see it go around town. It says on the road to net zero. We also are trying to identify some gaps. So we did some energy audits of all of our buildings so we can plan for the future and see, you know, how can we reduce the energy consumption used in our buildings? And then a part of that too would be, you know, how can we use renewable energy to have a cleaner footprint? So we did get a solar feasibility study done of our cruise terminals this year, so we can have all the data to know, you know, how many solar panels can fit on the roof? How much would that cost? How much of that energy would it create for us? And we also, you know, under our scope 3 emissions, would also be employee commuting. So that's something that we need to look at. And of course, installing some EV chargers is a way to kind of help our staff, you know, maybe incentivize them to buy an electric vehicle. But also we have an employee commuting program that we started this year where we provide free bus passes to anyone who wants one. And we also have a board in our lunchrooms to keep track of, you know, are you carpooling? Are you walking? And then we do a draw at the end of the month. And that's been a fun process.
Listen, to be fully transparent, I'm here sometimes, I see the kitchen, I go in for the snacks, I see that board, and I will say, I'm just going to be honest, it's easy for employees and internal organizations to think that that might be silly or cheesy or just cool, and they'll engage. But I think it's really awesome that you guys push for the adoption of the things that you're both learning and researching and trying to do from a due diligence standpoint, because then you really are understanding how much power you're using at different terminals. You're understanding, well, if we want to talk the talk and we're going to walk the walk, we're going to at least offset what we are year by year. And if we're not doing that internally when that report comes out, I know that you would feel that. So yeah. I think that that's cool that you adopt that internally and you do it fully.
I have to say I'm 100% behind the board, but as someone who lives 2 blocks from the cruise terminal, there have been a couple of days that I've driven that I'm very ashamed.
Don't tell me this.
I walk almost every day.
But I know you do.
There's a couple of check marks missing, and it's embarrassing. So it's personally, so it gives me incentive to say I gotta keep walking.
Yes, exactly. Keep walking.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I wanted to mention, you mentioned offsetting too. So we have a couple different offsetting projects that we're working on. For the first time this year, we'll be offsetting all of our business travel by flights. So, you know, a lot of our staff here at Port St. John, you know, we fly all over the world to do our business and to attract, you know, crews and cargo to come to Port St. John. Obviously, that has a big footprint. So we have set aside the funds this year to offset that completely. And then also we, through the Birchill Wind Project, have renewable energy certificates that will offset our energy usage as we work to reduce that footprint. So that's kind of what we're doing in the interim.
Is the name any affiliation?
Yes, the Birchill Wind Farm, for sure. Yes, my ancestors lived there when they immigrated here from overseas. So my dad is the family historian, and he has pictures of, you know, what the land used to look like. Our ancestors were rum runners. They were gold miners in that area. So I think that's why the name Birchill kind of stuck around, because of the prominence of the things they were doing back then.
I love the rum and gold. Circle that. Yeah, right. Exactly. And now sustainable energy. How cool to evolve, right?
Exactly.
No, that's really awesome. That's great.
And I guess just to wrap up a few things before we move on, I think we have a guest to call in.
Oh, we do, yeah.
One other thing I did want to mention is, you know, we also have a lot of habitat projects that we work on. So, you know, we do tree planting. This year we did a project out in Musquash. And then we also work with the Canadian Whale Institute to spread awareness in the container terminal or the container village about whale sightings and how cruise guests and cruise crew can report those whale sightings, which helps with conservation efforts. So we really, you know, are working on protecting those marine mammals that are out there in the ocean.
It was so cool. Natalie and myself, we were out on an inaugural ceremony a few weeks ago, and the captain on the specific ship had actually lived in St. Andrews for 10 years. Oh, wow. And he lives in Finland now with his wife, but he said he always gets very emotional when he comes through the Maritimes, and he said that they saw a right whale.
Yes, I heard about that.
And one of the guests, we were talking to Orca, the organization on board, and they were a couple of guests came up and just tears in their eyes from being able to see these, you know, amazing creatures. So, and then as well, there's that whole evolution of like photography and showcasing our city as they're coming in. So it's really cool to kind of see how much care is put into both, you know, not just sustainability, but the customer service aspect of people visiting, the care of animals and of the planet. I just think that that's very cool. And the port doesn't have to do that, but I'm so glad that you do and that it's part of your mandate now and part of your eight pillars. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, and yes, yeah, so we're very excited because we actually have a guest today and it's going to be a really, really fun conversation. Manon is going to be talking to us today from Green Marine and we're really excited to give her a shout. So you guys ready to call her?
Yeah.
You guys excited? Okay. Let's bring up the digits. We're going to call her. Let's see if she answers.
And we'll explain what Green Marine is as
yes.
we get into
it. Yeah. I think we'll give her a chance to explain it maybe. She'll do it better than we can.
She'll do a fantastic job.
Yeah. We really just want to talk about trends in the industry.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's like we're on an old radio show.
Hello.
Hi, Manon.
Yes, it is.
It's Port St. John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm good. This is Kate, and I've got Jane and Craig with us. How are you today?
I'm good. I'll be much better after this is done.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody always says that, but I promise it'll be super fun, and our guests are really excited to hear about what you've been doing, what you've been up to, and just to kind of get your thoughts on the industry a little bit. So thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to chat with you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, maybe you could start off, Manon, just by explaining a little bit about Green Marine, just for our guests who are not familiar.
Yes, well, Green Marine is a non-for-profit organization. It's a voluntary program for the maritime industry, an environmental certification program, and we certify ports, terminal, shipyards, the St. Lawrence Seaway, and shipping companies. It's a North American program, so we have more than 180 participants throughout Canada and the United States, and it's been around for 15 years now.
Awesome. And I know we've been a member for quite a while and, you know, you can see our scores on the Green Marine website, but it's a really awesome program because it gives, you know, us as a port some ideas on projects we can do to improve our environmental performance. And it's all above compliance, which is amazing. And I really like it because as I look to improve some of our scores, like all the ideas are listed right there, like, oh, you can do this, this, and this. Yep. So it really helps me kind of frame my work plan.
Yeah, it's nice that it's resourceful.
Yeah.
And the idea was really to have something really transparent, but also really rigorous. So the transparency, of course, comes from the fact that all the criteria is online. Like you don't have to log in into any member section or be a part of a privy club to see what our participants need to do to achieve each level. All the requirements are there for anyone to see. And it's easy to communicate because it's a level from 1 to 5. All the indicators are built on the same schematic of those 5 steps, where 1 is regulatory monitoring. So anyone just joining the program is doing more than whatever rules apply to them are requiring the port or the shipping company to do. And the idea is to go towards level 5, which is excellence and leadership. And the rigor or the credibility comes from the fact that, well, the public, the results are public, but also there's an external verification from an independent third party that looks over the report and the assessment that is done by the participants.
Awesome.
I've just got a quick question. You know, I've seen the growth of Green Marine and all of the new companies and different entities that have signed up. But can you give us a little bit of a taste for what that growth has looked like and all the new people that have signed up to Green Marine and are reporting over the last decade?
Yeah, of course. So it started off as a Great Lakes and St. Lawrence binational program. It was really to address more and more concern from the public and elsewhere about the aquatic invasive species issue. So the industry got together and felt like it needed more than a communication campaign. It needed to prove and say what they were doing to tackle this issue and other environmental issues. So the companies got together and decided on a program that would be transparent and would show whatever they were doing. There was 6 indicators at the time, and 30-some participants. And then we got, as we grew, more interest from other parties outside that region, so from the West Coast and the East Coast. Port St. John was the first port in Atlantic Canada to join outside of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence region in 2011, I think, my memory is good. And since then, well, the scope of the program also broadened a lot. So we now have 15 performance indicators, and we're also tackling more of a social issues or social acceptability. So we have a community relation performance indicator that is one of our newest indicator. And we also have like biodiversity getting into the mix with the aquatic ecosystem indicator for ports. And when I say that we have 15 indicator, those are not applicable across the board. So some indicator really are for landside operation, so ports and terminals, and others are more for the shipping side, the sea side, so the ship owners.
Awesome. Yeah. And I guess we just want to learn a little bit about what you have seen in the industry, because I know Green Marine gets to work with so many different entities, different ports. So from working in this area, what do you think is the biggest opportunity for ports to support decarbonization?
I think that the more and more the decarbonization becomes, it's no longer an emergency issue. I would say the talk of the town and the key challenge, and it's being addressed at so many levels. So that I think that certainly for ports, the major opportunities lies into adopting green technologies and enter alternative energy sources. So if ports can invest in renewable energy infrastructure like wind or solar power to reduce emission for their operation, they can electrify cargo handling equipment, implement shore power for ships. Those technology and innovation can significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Another way that is not like does have a bit to do with technology, because you can use technology to do it, but improving efficiency is also a way for ports and terminals to reduce emissions, because by reducing the gate turnover time, you reduce truck engine idling, and then therefore, of course, the emission. So by making these changes, I think ports can lead the way in showcasing the feasibility and the benefits of sustainable practice in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great answer. Wow.
Very well said.
Yeah.
That just really shows how everything is so connected.
That's what I was
you know
say.
What
like
I mean?
A domino effect. If you're not, you know, conscious of one moving element, then there is another. And I remember, I think it was a few months ago, hearing that when we were talking about the supply chain and how if you, you know, might move a truck or something and you're thinking about how long it takes, you can actually get it to the customer sooner if you're being more conscious of people on the planet rather than the. So I think that's a really great, you know, looking at your emissions, improving efficiency. That's all pretty great.
Yeah. It's good for your emissions, and then it's also good for customer service. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if we can improve efficiencies in the supply chain, then it's also, you know, shippers and receivers can move their products more efficiently and faster.
But that adoption is like the key critical part, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that it also helped Green Marine growth and success as well, because we're the only program that addressed both the seaside and the land side. So you have some specific program that are doing vessel by vessel certification, for example, or are doing just air emission for landside operation. But we encompass the whole maritime industry. So we have like small tugboats, big container boats, vessels. We have like very small ports and larger ports and larger terminal operators. And, you know, everyone is kind of pushing towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. And so what would you say would be the biggest barrier or hurdle in the industry?
Well, of course, when you talk about technology and innovation, it comes to a certain price. Of course, the one of the major hurdles to achieve decarbonization is often the high upfront cost of adopting these emerging green technology. So the initial investment that is required for such upgrades or to transition, for example, to cleaner fuels can certainly be a barrier. I think that securing funding and the financial incentives for these projects is crucial. So we have our ports doing it. So collaborating with government or private sector partner to access grant subsidies, low interest loans, that could be a way of overcoming this this barrier or this hurdle. I think that there are more and more opportunities of this type, either at governmental level in Canada and in the U.S. And there's also a few opportunities with outside groups that are not like regulators. For example, I know that in the Atlantic region, one recent example of such grant comes from Green Marine. It's a new supporter within our network, Net Zero Atlantic. They have a net zero emerging concepts and technology, and it's providing like $3 million in funding for such projects. So we see more and more of these small individual projects, and also more and more innovation hubs that help startups with come up with technologies and solutions that can help the shipping industry to green their operation. I would say that the other challenge for ports lie in what they control and what they don't. So, you know, port emission, they come from diverse sources. So sometimes the port authority doesn't even have control over these sources. For example, you have harbor craft, pilot boats, tugs operating in the harbor. You have vessels at dock or anchored in port waters. You have cargo in handling equipment that is operated or belong to a terminal operator. So you don't have like, you cannot just get onto the terminal land and say, well, let's change those cranes. So the most ports, they do have like a large landlord component to their operation where the cargo is handled by terminals that are tenants. So I think that where port can have an impact is by playing a leadership role to ensure that all the stakeholders are aiming for the same decarbonization goal. We were told that Green Marine can play a role there since the program certifies both the shipping companies, port terminal, and shipyard. It does help that these companies are all speaking the same language. They're working to fulfill similar requirements because even though the ports and the terminal criteria are not exactly the same, they do carry the same intention and they are tailored to each party's specific operation.
I couldn't agree more. One unknown that I would throw out there too that I think is something not just the port industry or the maritime industry is looking at, but industry in general is what type of fuel sources are going to be used, you know, for the propulsion of a ship. So that's a really important thing that we think about a lot here because
the fuel of the future
because shore power is a obviously a no-brainer. We don't want ships to be emitting when they're important. If there's an ability to be able to plug into a clean grid, that's obviously very beneficial, and some ports have invested in that. The unfortunate downside to shore power is that if the grid's not clean, then are you actually making a tangible impact? The cost to shore power has risen exponentially. A lot of ports, not in St. John, but a lot of ports are tendering ports. So shore power doesn't do anything if the cruise ship is if you have to tender in from sea as a cruise passenger. And then as we contemplate what the fuel source of the future is going to be, if it's non-emitting in and of itself, then the shore power investment will be all for naught. So it's a complex puzzle here, but we're going to get through it. And I think the industry and everyone, groups like Green Marine, are getting us all at the table and getting the wider group, as Manal mentioned. It's about the ship owners, it's about cargo owners, it's about all of the different players that can actually drive that different future. And groups like Green Marine are coordinating. So while there's still unknowns, this is the reason why a group like this
is giving the tangible data to actually move somebody from, hey, this is what we're presently dealing with, to a potential, like you said, a better state of business and a better state of planet. And I think that's great. Now we have two questions real quick before we wrap up. I'll loop them in together. from your perspective, which port is doing it right? You know, who could we be looking for inspiration? And the second part of that question is, do you think and have you noticed that ports are willing to look past their historical competitive nature to look at sustainability? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have so many examples, but, you know, as a certification program, we have like 55 ports throughout Canada and United States leading the way and showing best practice. It's hard or impossible to point out a single member, but I've mentioned maybe an emerging perspective. We've seen in recent years that the landscape for corporate responsibility has undergone a significant transformation. So today, the company stakeholders are more diverse and they're interconnected even more than before. So you have the external and the internal dimension. This shift was driven primarily by the global recognition of how urgent we need to address environmental, social, and governance factor, including sustainability. So to answer that question of who's doing it right, I think that it's those ports that embrace sustainability, not just as a compliance measure, but more as a fundamental element of their strategy, and that they recognize that sustainability can no longer be a choice, but more of an expectation.
I like the way you said that.
to thrive in a world where stakeholders' expectation are constantly changing and they're more demanding and coming from so many diverse fronts, I think that those companies and ports that do recognize that this shift is important, they will be better positioned for long-term success and impact, some say sustainability-wise and emission-wise. And to answer the second part of the question regarding collaboration, I think, yeah, totally. There's a noticeable trend towards collaboration on sustainability among ports, even in region where there was traditionally intense competition. Ports are realizing that sustainability is a collective effort, and that addressing those environmental challenge transcends competition. You know, emissions don't really care or obey to boundaries. they're there and they cross the line. So we're seeing more and more ports forming alliance and sharing best practices to achieve a common sustainability goal. This benefits, of course, the environment, but I think it also enhances the industry's reputation as a whole and can help port in their social acceptability and putting forward new projects. We've seen many collaboration approach. The latest one would be in the St. Lawrence, for example. You see the ports of Montreal, Quebec, and Trois-Rivières forming an alliance to address this specific criteria. And another long-standing collaboration is the Northwest Ports Clean Air Strategy. It was formed like in 2008 or 2009. I don't want to miss the exact date, but it's a collaborative effort between the Port of Seattle, the Port of Tacoma, Northwest Seaport Alliance, and Vancouver Fraser Port Authority. So you're seeing binational collaboration to reduce air and GHG emissions. And this strategy was revisited in 2020 with a new vision to phase out emissions from seaport-related activity by 2050. And I think that Green Marine itself can be a perfect example of this growing trend of ports, like putting aside the rivalries and focusing on sustainability. It's always amazing to see our port, well, just to be a witness of our port are willing to help one another and share best practice and lesson learned, either at our Green Tech Conference or to our committees or work group. They even share their tool and If they have documents, for example, environmental clause for their tenant's contract, they share that with another within our, you know, member section of the website, so that a port doesn't have to, a smaller port maybe doesn't have all the resources to come up with all those tools. It's really nice to see how people are collaborating, and I think that many ports understand that these environmental challenges require joint solution, and that collaborating through venues like Green Marine provides or elsewhere, these collaborations can result in joint research, information exchange, and even joint investment. That's what will foster a more sustainable future for the industry as a whole, I think.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. What a great answer. And, yeah. You know, for anyone who's listening, please go check out what Green Marine is doing, because, and if you're also in any type of port industry, if you're thinking about getting into the port industry, if you're conscientious of decarbonization, sustainability efforts, what corporate responsibility efforts each organization might be doing, this is a great way to get involved. Nan, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate it. Not going to lie, we may call you back sometime because you've got lots of information that I feel we should probably expand on more. So again, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and have a great rest of your day. You did a great job. Thank you so much for talking to us all. All right, have a great day.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, as you can hear, we've just learned a lot about what Green Marine is doing and how they're empowering folks like Jane and ports like Port St. John with data and real tangible metrics that can go and actually help get funding or put meetings together that actually say, hey, we're going to try to adopt these new practices that's better for both our corporate entity from our social acceptability scale. And I think that's, I've learned a lot today just on the show. And I thank you for always helping open my eyes to a different perspective of what's going on right in front of me. I always find that to be really refreshing.
Yeah, no problem. I think it's a great time to be talking about sustainability. You know, the urgency to act against climate change has never been stronger. So, you know, we're really taking that seriously here at Port St. John.
Thank you for coming on, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna wrap it up with just one thing that you said to me a few months ago, and it really stuck with me. And I said, "What is something that the average person here could understand relates to climate change?" And you said, "Well, if we don't actually fulfill what we're doing from our real responsibility as a region, we may not have our fishing shacks in a few years." And that was something that really put it to reality for me. So it's great to hear that we're talking about sustainability, but if we don't put it to how people enjoy their life now and what changes or how that evolves, I don't think we can compute it to the effort. So I think it's really important, you know, if you care, I think you should just check out what your province is doing, what your organization is doing, and just get involved a little bit. And if you can offset even just a little bit of some of those emissions, just even as a human being, do it up.
Absolutely. Another one too, I think that connects with people, is like being able to skate in the winter. Like I live by the Kennebecasis River, and it's, you know, rare that we actually can get out there these days. So just like tangible things like that, I think can really connect it for people about how climate change is affecting us.
And on the next part two episode with Jane, we're going to be talking about some pretty big things, targets, what's happening next year, what the goals will be, and really excited to bring you that episode. So we hope that you enjoyed this one. If you haven't listened to the last one, episode 10 with Monica Adair, that's talking all about changing the evolving waterfront, how we're making this more a livable port, and it's a really great episode about even digging into sustainability, what is happening from a decarb kind of perspective as a result of that project planning. And I just think it's a great way to kind of intersect of what's happening here at the port. So that's a great episode to check out. Thank you everybody for joining in. And until next time.
See you later.
See ya. Thanks so much for listening.